Morning. Since the message was already spoke, you're released. You guys can just go home. Enjoy your day. You know, pastor speaks from a really high level. Sometimes I go home after he talks to me and my head hurts. It aches for days. And I'm chewing and chewing and chewing and trying to swallow. But the wisdom God gives him is unparalleled. He doesn't know this book. I read this book in and out over and over again when I first became, if you want to call it, saved with my uncle's ministry. And I read it over and over and over. And I knew it inside and out. But he never knew it. But he knew it. The Spirit of God taught him from the inside out, which is a miracle. You know, the question that should be in everybody's mind is, what is Christ? Who is Christ? What is Christ? That should be the question we all have. And the answer is, Christ is the Spirit of adoption that makes us a son of God. That's what Christ is. That's who Christ is. You know, Kurt said it earlier, and I'm going to read it anyway, just to confirm what he said. But it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." When you're younger, when you're a child, and someone asks you, when you're a little kid, say 5, 6, do you worry about the electric bill? Worry about the car payment? Worry about getting food in your belly? No, because you have a father or a mother that does that for you, that takes care of you. In the same way, God wants to be that for us now. In Romans chapter 8, God says this in verse 18, he starts with this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present moment are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." God just wants sons and daughters. When you're a child, you go for a trip with your parents. You don't worry about getting lost. You don't worry about going to the store and getting lost. You don't worry about these things. And, you know, you can say a lot of big words, a lot of jumbo, a lot of spiritual words, but what it comes down to is God wants sons. He wants to be your father. You know, a lot of people grow up without a father, and God's speaking to you. They grew up without a father. They didn't have a father. And maybe their mother was working all the time. And maybe they never had a good relationship. But you know, when you come to God, the relationship is created by you. It's created by you. He put a truth inside of every one of us that has a level of faith, that believes in God. But our job is to labor to be in his rest. You know, when I first came to this ministry, Tim and I came, and Kurt was with us. We came in this place pretty much every night with Jim. Every night when we first met him, for about 3 or 4 hours. Labor to be in my rest. We laid on this floor every night and listened to music and let God just wash over us, his power, his love. Just wash over us and wash over us and wash over us for 3 or 4 hours every single night. When I was at work in the daytime, I had a full-time job. I couldn't wait to get here every night. Life sucked. Work sucked. But I couldn't wait to get here every night to get into that presence of God. Every single night. This went on for months and months and months. Years. And God was creating a relationship, a habitation for me. Many of us want to know why God's not talking to God. Well, have you created a habitation? Have you spent time laboring to be in his rest? What are we doing with our time? Think about it. If you're married, you only saw your husband on Sunday for 3 hours. And on that Sunday, you just heard about him. You didn't spend time with him or your wife. You didn't spend time holding each other, comforting each other, talking to each other, or helping each other out. There was no time spent doing these things. Is that a relationship? No. God is a God of power and love. When we spend time with him, that love overflows us and fills us and takes all the pain away, takes all the anxiety away, takes all the fear away. Because you're in his presence. And all he's looking for is a little bit of effort on our part. And he'll do the rest. I couldn't wait to get here every single night, Monday through Sunday. We had church on Sunday. After church, guess what? We were in here from 7 o'clock at night until 11 o'clock at night. We had a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, after God, because you go back to the world, you go back. Your thinking starts changing. You want to come here every night. I'm not saying you have to come here every night and do. I'm just saying we have to create a habitation. He said for you to create it. Create a habitation for God. Realize, see, when you do this, and his love starts washing over you and creating himself inside of you, which is love. Creating this love for him inside of you that you've never felt before. Because you go back to the world and you come back to the presence. Back to the world and back to the presence. Because we have to function in the world, right? But this enabled me to start watching my life. This creation of a habitation allowed me to start watching my life. So the things that were happening weren't happening anymore to me. God was in control. It's like when you're a child, things happen to you. It's not happening to you. You're still going to eat. You're still going to have electric. You're still going to have, because your father's there. And your mother's there. Unless you come as a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want us to figure it out, to reason it out, to have our plans. He wants us to rest in him. And by rest, cast all your cares upon him. Get in that secret place and dwell with him. You don't have to have a CD of ministering on. Let it be worship at first. Just worship him. Love him. That's how you're changed. You stop looking to the world for your satisfaction and for your peace, and you start looking to God. And you start laboring, which means to work. Labor to be in my rest. This is all he wants from us. To labor, to really try, really press to be in his rest. Really make that place, make that time for him. To worship him and praise him. I don't have time. You know, I have kids and I understand. But there's always time if you're willing. There's always excuses if you're not. But there's always time if you're willing. God's not going to make a promise to you and then say, he is too busy. She's too busy. They're too busy. Don't worry about it. Good to go. Imagine not seeing your spouse for a week or two because you're too busy. not talking to them, not hanging out with them, not comforting each other. There's no relationship there. God wants a habitation. You know, we spent months and months in here so that he could create a habitation in here. This place became in here because I took time, and we took time to labor and find that place with God. We took time, and God made it pretty easy for us. We would come in here, just pass out cold, start praying, and just get knocked out. And 3 hours later, you wake up, and you're like, what the heck just happened? Jim's slapping oil on our heads. Oh, God, you know, we're like, what is going on? It's like a circus in here. The clouds of smoke filled this place. Smoke, like glory, filled this place. We'd walk out, we'd come back in, filled with smoke. Walk out, turn the lights on, filled with smoke. God was here. Then he came in here. And I became the dwelling. I became his dwelling place. Because I understood. I created a habitation for him. It was here first. Then it came in here. But it did start here. Yours could start anywhere you want. Could be in your car, could be in your house, could be in your closet, could be in your little side room, could be anywhere. But you have to start a relationship somehow. It's not just about the words and the truth. It's about a relationship with an all-loving God who's alive. It's not about understanding terminology or scripture. It says that they'll read the scriptures. For in them they think they find eternal life, but they will not come unto me. They'll read this book, and in this book they think they'll find eternal life, but they won't come unto me. They won't. God requires one thing from us, a living sacrifice. A dead animal. What's a sacrifice? A dead animal has no thought, can't move. Can't walk away, just lays there, just dead. You know, for me right now, the most important scripture for me is forgetting everything that I know. Counting it all, everything as dung. Paul said, didn't say this religious stuff. Paul said, I count everything I have ever learned as dung. Everything, every pattern of this world, everything my parents, everything everybody taught me, that made me anchored to this world. I count it all as dung, garbage, that I might gain him the more. Paul says, I die daily. Every day I lay down my life, pick up my cross and follow him. These are the words of Paul. He never even met Jesus. Never met him. The apostles met him. Think about it. These ignorant, unlearned men, the apostles, were the first ones that received this glory, first ones that received this spirit. And they walked in the same miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus did, didn't they? Same ones. These ignorant, unlearned men, the 12 of them walked in the same thing he walked in. God was trying to show us back then, it's for all men, not just one person. It's for everybody. If these 12 ignorant, unlearned men can do it, everybody can do it. But it really takes an effort on our part. Not a Sunday and Wednesday relationship. It's an everyday laying your life down, picking up your cross, and following his spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God or daughters of God. Not they that are led by their own will or their own selfishness. I'm not saying become a monk. But I'm saying have an awareness that God is always with you in everything you do. And everyone who talks to you. You know, we've been talking a lot about judgment in here. Why do you think God allows you to judge people? He says, why are you the judge? Why do you judge? when you do the same exact thing you're judging them doing. He says, why do you judge people? When you do the same thing that they're doing, that's what bothers you. Why do you think God's letting you get bothered? If God hardens every heart and softens every heart, then who's hardening your heart towards this person? God. He hardens every heart and softens every heart. So if he's hardening your heart towards something someone's doing, it's for a reason. It's not to point out their faults so you can go correct them. Who are we to tell someone what they're doing wrong? He says, don't tell them about the splinter in their eye when a huge plank is in your eye. Who are we to judge? Anyone. But why we judge and why we lose our peace is because God's trying to show you what you do. Not me. I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. Maybe not in that same exact circumstance, but you do it. That's why it bothers you. See, we must decrease so he can increase. Shelley spoke it. Kurt spoke it. Every generation has been created closer to the image of God. Every single one. The next one will be even closer. They won't have judgment. They're getting closer to the Spirit of God, closer and closer and closer. And we're here, what our job is to convert the old-time religion and bring in the new move, but to help the old-time religion, the old wine and the old wineskins. That's our job. So that God can have a relationship with those who thought they had a relationship with him. You can think you have a relationship with God based on your own righteousness. But here's how you know. Peace beyond all measure. Joy unspeakable and full of gladness. This is how you know. You have fruit in your life. You're not being tossed to and fro with every thought in your mind. Your kid's sick. Oh my God, he's going to die. Simplest thing happens in your life, and all of a sudden a catastrophe happens in your life. There is no control of yourself. You're worried this day, and the next day you're full of joy. The next day you're full of anxiety. The next day you're full of joy. The next day you're full of anger. That's what Shelley talked about. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because no foundation has been established. There is no dwelling place for God in us. There is none, because we never established it. We have a job to do. It's not to be passive and sit back and watch everybody else. It's to lay your life down, pick up your cross and follow him, and create a habitation for him to dwell with you. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. It's there. You just have to cultivate it. See, what waters the seed is the presence of God, his love. We're being transformed into love. But we're sons and daughters. You know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And it goes down to say, for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is the power forever and ever. Yours, God. I don't want it. We don't want it. It's all his. His is the glory. His is the power forever and ever. I don't want it. All I want is to be transformed into love and stop judging, but realize why I judge. It's for me to realize what I'm doing, what has to be taken out of me. Why do you think you get upset at people? Especially when we're in a rush. God loves dealing with us with patience, man. His whole thing is patience. That's it. We get patience, it's over. We're getting teleported right up, man. Patience is tough. But I've sent that scripture Ken just said to Jim last night. Ken just said it. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. He will renew their strength. Think about it. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. How many of us are sick and tired and weary? He will renew their strength. What's waiting on the Lord? Spending time with Him. Resting in Him. Put all your burdens on Him. You know, we're always going to have a fork in the road. It's always going to be left or right. Always going to be a left or right. Why? I don't know. It's always going to be a left or right. It's never going to be, oh, this is the avenue you're going to go. That's it. It's simple, plain and simple. It's A. No. You got A. You got a B. You got a C. You got a D. You got everything with Z sometimes. And you don't know which way to go. But if you rest in Him, He'll open every door in your life and close every door you're not supposed to walk through. But if we don't rest in Him, then we're tormented with the decisions every day of our lives. Doesn't it say that we should know that we know that we know what to do? Why don't we know that we know that we know? Why are we still wrestling with indecision and, oh my God, I have to make this decision. What do I do, left or right? He's trying to bring us to a place of peace. He's trying to bring us to a place of sonship and daughtership, to where as a little child, you don't care anymore. He's going to provide every need you have. You don't have to be the main keeper anymore. You don't have to be the main breadwinner. You can just sit back and let God be God. Watch your life. Watch God dictate everything in your life and just stand back and be amazed. You can do it yourself, but the glory is going to come to you. It won't go to God. It's going to glorify your will. Oh, I did that. I just made 15 grand this week. Ugh. Really? And next week your car breaks, then go buy another car for 15 grand. Money's gone. God wants the glory. He wants to be our Father. Supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. You know, talking a lot about glory lately, and I really believe the word glory is the confidence we walk in when we apply grace. Grace is a knowledge, a wisdom. When we apply that and we get fruit, you walk in glory. You're unstoppable. Jesus, it says that he was in the garden, and he fell down as though he was sweating with blood, and he fell down. Because he didn't want to go die just for the sins of the world. But when he rose up, he was ministered to when he went down. When he rose up, he shone. He was shining. And he stood up, and he waved his hand out, and the whole entire people who were coming after him fell on their faces. They all fell. He knocked the whole crowd down, demonstrating his power by spending a little time with the Father. Before he fell on his face, he was sweating blood. Oh, my God, I really have to do this? I thought I'd be getting the heck out of here by now. God, you're serious about this, man. I thought you were just kidding. So he fell on his face as though dead. He fell on his face, and he prayed. And God ministered to him. And when he rose up, he was empowered. And he was able to take on the cross because God rose him up. God's just trying to bring us to a place of a relationship. There's a lot of terms we use in here. And we can get really spiritual with terms. But when you simplify it, God just wants children. Unless you come as a little child, you'll never see enter the kingdom of God. Faith of a child. They don't worry about anything. I say to Pastor Jim, you got to mow your lawn. It looks like a jungle out here. Ah, it's God's property, brother. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. Next thing you know, somebody comes and mows his lawn. And I'm sitting there going, look at me. Worried about the stupid things. Pointing out the things that would cause torment in somebody. Brother, don't bring torment to me. Hey, Jim, what about this? Don't bring torment to me. God's got it. Why are you bringing this torment to me? Why are you bringing worldly crap to me? Why are you bringing these worldly worries to me? Why are we talking about this? Why are we even talking about these worldly concerns? Who cares? Let's not make a conversation out of these worldly cares. Let's not talk about these negative things. Think on these things, things that are right, things that are noble, things that are edifying. Let's talk about these things. When a letter comes, throw it in a corner if it's a bad letter and let God deal with it. Watch how he deals with it when you don't concern yourself with it. Instead of talking to this person, and then you get 50 ideas of how to handle the situation, people who aren't even anointed to handle it, they're telling you there, and then you got all these roads to go down in your heart. Instead of just surrendering the problem to God in the beginning and saying, God, this is your problem. I'm not going to spread this dirty laundry to everybody I know and hear 1,000 different scenarios of how they can help me, how you get out of this, but I'm going to let you deal with it, God. And when God deals with it and nobody else knows the problem, that's when you start a relationship with God. What are you telling people who can't help you for? What are you telling them for? They can't help you. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Really, nobody cares. That's why he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Most of your friends are in misery and anguish. And misery loves what? Company. So when you're all anxietied up and they hear that, oh, she's that church girl. She's got issues just like me. Look at that. I knew it. But when you have a testimony, yo, I got a letter in the mail. God was going to take my, this guy was going to take my house. And I just started praying and worshiping God. And a week later, my mortgage got paid. There's a testimony you can give to them. Instead of airing out your dirty laundry. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Who are we testifying to? Where is your ministry? Who are you talking to? What are we doing with this gift we have? Really? Cultivating it, letting it grow inside of us, building that relationship with God, and hopefully we're getting changed from glory to glory to glory? Or are we just here for a Sunday message and go home and back to the world? Same old, same old. Like Shelley said, nothing changes. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's no way to live. God says he will bless us with more than we could ever ask or imagine. Who's walking in it? He'll bless us more than we could ever ask or imagine. It's coming for us when we surrender, when we lay our lives down. See, here's the whole key of taking door A, B, C, or D. You can't care. You can't have any concern whether it's A, B, C, or D. But we want B. And God's saying, I'm going to give you B because you want B. But if you had an open, if you watched your life, you wouldn't care about A through D. Because you're involved, you want B. He really wants control of our lives. Total control. As a child, I didn't tell my father to go down this road. I didn't know where the heck I was going. I didn't tell my dad to go here. I just trusted him. I trusted him to pay the bills, to feed me, to take me on trips. He's fine. We're not going to get lost. My dad's here. Nothing can happen to me. My dad's here. This is what it comes down to. God wants a relationship with all of us. If you didn't have a father growing up, well, it's time that you can get one. You can have one. The greatest father that ever lived and lives forever. The greatest father that you could ever imagine, and a million times better than that. Just create him. God's the God of faith. You can create. You can go in and create your relationship with God, and he'll honor it. And he'll bless you beyond measure. All we got to do is labor a little bit. Stop worrying about the doors in front of you and worry about worshiping God. And when you worship God, you'll walk through any of those doors and it's the right door. Because you don't care anymore. All you care about is God and loving him and the love he puts on you. See, it's not me loving him. It's him loving me that I need. I need love. I need his presence. I need his peace. There is a power of God. Paul said, we don't preach in word, we preach in power. For the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of word, but a kingdom of power. And the power of God is real. And the love of God is real. And we can feel it. And it overwhelms us. And it brings us to tears. And it heals us. It's the presence of Almighty God. We can go in and crawl up in his arms and lay there. Like you did when you were a little child. If you didn't have that, well, you can have it now. You can crawl up in his arms and just lay there. And just lay there and let him love on you. And take all the pain away. And you'll realize that you're worried about nothing. Doesn't really matter. Because who cares? Because the bottom line is, who's ultimately in control of everything? Not you. God. And if he has control over you, then it's over. You're still controlling yourself. It's not over. Why don't we have peace? Why don't we have joy? Why do we go back and forth, in and out, in and out, in and out? Oh, great day today. Tomorrow sucks. Great day today. Tomorrow sucks. Great day. Oh, it's a good day. It's a good day. Today's a good day. Today's a good day. Every day should be a good day. Like Ken said, let's go, God. Good morning. What are we doing today? Insanity, the same thing every day, but you look for different results. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen until we lay our lives down. Trust me, there's a relationship with God that he wants from us that never stops growing. We start it here, and we keep it going all through eternity. And that love just keeps flowing more and more and more and more and greater and greater and greater until you're overflowing. You're overflowing in this love. And it never stops forever. Amen? All right, Tim's going to come up and finish.
Yeah, that was really good, Sam. Let's give Sam a round of applause. You know, in here, we've been speaking a lot about Christ. We've been speaking about God's grace, and we've been speaking about the glory. And when I was a little child, I was raised in a religious setting, a religious church, up until I think it was, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I wasn't even involved in a ministry that was all about Jesus. And, you know, as our ministry keeps going forward, we're not here to diminish Jesus, but we're here to bring you into a relationship with the Father. For one, Jesus was the Lamb that was slain. You know, he was here for a reason. God wanted to do away with all those ordinances and different commandments and different acts of works that the church back then was doing, and they were sacrificing all these animals and things for their sins, and God said, enough is enough. I want to dwell with man, and I'm going to bring Jesus down, and I'm going to lay him down on the altar and slay him once and for all the remission of sins. And in Acts 2, it says Peter. Now, Peter served under Jesus. He witnessed Jesus. He was there with the miracle signs and wonders. He's basically seen everything that would happen. And he said in Acts 2, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him. These miracle signs and wonders God did through Jesus. It wasn't Jesus himself. It wasn't Jesus as God. It was God through him attesting through Jesus these miracle signs and wonders for the people that didn't believe. He did it in their midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. That's grace. The foreknowledge of God is grace. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. God raised him up. God the Father. That's what we've been speaking about. I don't know, the last 7-8 weeks, we've been speaking about this on a daily Sunday and our Wednesday night service, because it's time to put away the little trivial and to put away the old way of thinking as far as a relationship with God. Like, you know, Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that, right? But what happened was, like, in my relationship, I stopped at Jesus. I put a period on Jesus, and I was worshiping Jesus. I mean, for many years, I was going around preaching Jesus, 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 but I was telling people, hey, you got to know Jesus, when in reality, the truth is, you got to know God the Father. You know, he was there for a purpose, was to remit the sins of the world so that nobody was bringing condemnation on themselves for and feeling guilty for sins. There is no more sin. If you think you're a sinner, you're wrong. There is no more sin anymore in this world. It's only what you create. If you're creating sin, you know what? You're falling short of his glory. God even says it in Scripture. We all fall short of the glory of God. Well, it's not meaning you're in sin. It means you're falling short of being transformed into his image. And how are we being transformed into the image of God? It's by denial of self. That's why Jesus was the chosen one, because he was fully in obedience to God's will by defeating his own will, by laying it down unto death, where he became the lamb that was slain for the remission of sin. We are too to take on the same form, where we deny ourselves, we deny our will, and we are being transformed into the image of God. You know, God put a little seed in every single person in the whole wide world. It's called the divine nature of Christ. That, you know what the divine nature is? I looked it up this morning. It's the love and righteousness of God. And we always keep telling everybody, we all want you to come into a fellowship with God to where you can know his love and you can know his righteousness. Because God says, behold, I want everyone to be holy as I am holy. Well, what's the holiness of God? It's not our works. It's not these ordinances and laws that we put on ourselves or we put on other people. The holiness of God is Christ. It's that divine nature living within you if you receive it. It's his holy word. The Holy Word is within you. It's that spoken word that God speaks to your heart every day, whether he's telling you to go this way or that way, through inspirations, through unctions, through a perception. You know, there's something that's stirring you. Well, what's stirring you is that Holy Spirit. You know, in here it says in Acts, David was a prophet. He was also king, but he was a prophet. And he had a revelation of Christ. It says here, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God had raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured it out, this which you know, see, and hear. This is the promise to every single person in this world. It's the Christ in you, the hope of all glory. It's the hope of all glory. Look, all of our hopes, our dreams, our visions, our inspirations, that's Christ, the divine nature that God placed in each individual. But God's saying it's now time for it to resurrect. That seed has to birth within every single person. It doesn't matter if they're a Muslim, if they're an Asian, or if they're Buddhist, or if they're Hindu, or if they're a Christian. There's a seed of Christ, of a seed of God himself that he placed in every single person that entails all your hopes, that will bring glory to him and glory to you. Because Jesus himself even said, God, glorify me so that I can glorify you. He wasn't bringing glory to himself. And that's where I believe the church, up until now, has fallen short of the glory of God, because we're glorifying Jesus all the time. Jesus sits at the right-hand side of the Father because of his obedience and what he did. God honored him and said, okay, Jesus, you're going to sit at my right-hand side right now, and you're going to be glorified in heaven. And you're going to be the first sons of many sons. You know, I used to always think, when I was back in that old ministry, I used to be like, you know, I can't live up to Jesus' expectations. Jesus did all this stuff, and, you know, I can't be where Jesus is at. And that's a lie. That is a total lie, because he gave me an inkling. He gave me a revelation knowledge back then. He said, Tim, you're his brother. You're his brother. Just like women, you're his sister. Because you have a divine seed, a divine nature of Christ that's living and dwelling in you. You just need to birth it and believe it by faith. You know, we talk about grace. Grace is literally revelation knowledge. The first one to really bring that in, besides Jesus having a revelation of having a habitat with God inside of him, was Paul. The Apostle Paul, I think it was Pastor Sam and Pastor Kirk today, brought up Paul, and he never met Jesus the man. He never met him, but he had an encounter. He had an encounter with Christ on his way to Damascus, and that's when he received grace. He received grace from the Father. It says here in Ephesians, where Paul's talking about, you know, having a relationship with God, he even says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not worshiping Jesus. He's saying, blessed be the Father, because the Father is Lord and Father over Jesus Christ. And that's where the church is stuck. Because they're thinking that Jesus Christ is God, and they're worshiping him as God. I mean, I spent many years arguing with my grandfather. My grandfather always kept telling me, Tim, you got to worship the Father and the Father only. No, Pop, you're wrong. I got to worship Jesus. And he would argue with me. He'd be like, look, if you don't see it, I don't know what to tell you. But you got to worship the Father and the Father only. And you know what? He was living under grace. He received a revelation knowledge of the Father to a measure, because we all have faith to a measure, and we all have grace to a measure. But then God wants to expound upon that, and that's where humility comes in. That's where Paul even said, I count everything as dung that I can know him the more. Who am I knowing? I'm knowing the Father through Christ in me. Through the grace that God has given me, and God's going to expound upon that grace. As you humble yourself and you don't ascertain all those ordinances and those laws, you start putting them away. You start putting aside all of your knowledge that you've learned and obtained to this point. You put that away and say, okay, God, what must I do to be saved? And God's just saying, look, if you humble yourself like a little child, I will pour out my grace. And my grace is revelation. It changes you. When you receive revelation, okay, you're receiving revelation of God in you, about his Spirit in you, that we have to listen to every single day, and it will guide you. I think even the Bible says, Jesus said, look, I must go to the Father, because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come to you and teach you all things. That's his grace. The Holy Spirit is revelation knowledge. It's teaching you daily, on a daily basis, what you need to do. And it's guiding your footsteps every day through his living word. And that living word is those unctions and those perceptions and those dreams and those visions, those hopes, the conviction that's within you. That's all the Holy Spirit. That's all God's grace. That's his revelation knowledge that's moving you on a daily basis. Sam brought up about resting in God. What are we resting from? We're resting from our works, trying to figure out what we got to do, trying to figure out, how am I going to get closer to God? You're already holy. God has made you holy because he's holy. By putting Christ, the divine nature, that seed of God's glory in you, you're already holy. It's not that you have to go and pray 10 times a day. It's not that you have to come to church here every Sunday. You're already holy because God is holy, and God indwells in each person. The Bible even says, who will make a tabernacle for me to dwell in? You know, Solomon took that literally, saying, I got to make a temple as a building where God can dwell. And he followed his heart, you know, and God's presence did come in there. The Shekinah glory did come in. But God's saying, you know what? I want a more better place where I can dwell. And Sam brought it up today. He dwells in each and every one of us, you know, through the Christ living inside of me, his divine nature, his seed. God lives and dwells in me, and he lives and dwells in you. He made you're making a tabernacle daily for him to dwell in by laying down our flesh, by laying down our reasoning and all those different ordinances and laws that we developed over the years. I remember through the years, I was so much in laws and ordinances that I put on myself through religious beliefs, through other people's religion that I formed for myself and I received it as doctrine, that I didn't really have a relationship with God. But thank God, praise be to God, that he delivered me from that. And he opened up my eyes through revelation, knowledge of his grace and his love, that I can come into a relationship with him on a daily basis. You know, he says, who's going to go into the holies of holies? Well, the holies of holies is within your heart. That's where heaven reigns, is within, deep within inside of you. And we have a chance every single day, if we put away the flesh and don't reason, we can come into the holies of holies. And you know what? I feel really bad right now, but the church that's out there right now, they're on the outer courts because they stopped at Jesus. You know, Sam had a message here a few weeks ago, and he said, look, Jesus is the doorway, and the Father is behind him. And he says, come to me so you can get to the Father. But he didn't say, stop at me. He said, go through me. So you come through the door to get access to the Father. And Jesus is saying, enough is enough. Worship my Father in heaven. Don't worship me. I sit and I'm resting at the right-hand side of the Father. And it says he makes intercession on our behalf. You know what the intercession is? God looks at him and says, well done, my faithful servant. I saw what you did. You gave the blueprint for everybody to come to me. Because everybody now is a seed of Christ implanted with them. And you know what? It's by his grace. It's by his grace. It's that revelation knowledge that he's being poured out right now at this time. And I'm afraid that the church out there isn't going to receive it because they're afraid of saying, I was wrong, but you weren't wrong. It was a time and a season that God allowed it to happen. Now God's doing a new thing. We spoke it on Wednesday night. God says, I am doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? Well, you know what we're perceiving? We're perceiving the grace of God. But it's not really a new thing because Paul presented grace back then when he had that encounter with Christ. He even talks about, I think, let me read this real quick. He says, here it is. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You know, that working of his mighty power is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that he's given each person. The Holy Spirit isn't one person. The Holy Spirit's working in everyone, and his grace is working in everyone. If we're willing to humble ourselves, you know, one thing back in Jesus' time was he went to the Pharisees and Sadducees and basically said, look, no longer is God dwelling in here in this temple. He's dwelling in the hearts of men. And they rejected it. They rejected it. As today, I believe right now in this time, the church is going to reject this message and has rejected this message up until now. But God's saying, repent. Change the way you're thinking. This isn't new. This is not a new doctrine that we're bringing about. It's just something that now God's saying, this is the way it has to be to have a relationship with him. It's grace through faith is how we're saved. It's not for just believing as an altar call saying, hey, Jesus is my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins and now I'm saved. That was just for the remission of sin. That's so that you can do away with guilt, shame, and condemnation. That's what gets rid of that. Because you're no longer a sinner, because God himself even said, I will not impute your trespasses against you no longer. Because the lamb was slain. The lamb covered it with the blood. Once and for all. One sacrifice. So God's saying, it's time to move off of that now. It's time to come into a daily relationship with me. One where I can speak and dwell in you all the time. Where you're not having to go to a man or a person or this and saying, oh, what do I need to do, God? No, God's living in you. He has a relationship with you. And he wants more of a deeper relationship, like Sam was saying. It's time to seek God. You know, the Bible even says, seek God while he can be found. So I'm saying, okay, there must be a time when God won't be found. Maybe when evil's being poured out in this world, maybe God won't be found at that end time. You know, because evil will be running rampant. But God's saying, my glory and my grace is being poured out with equal measure. So he's showing us right now, he could be found. It can be found in you. It's found in us. And if you found the people that are listening on the web. But we need to humble ourselves. We need to say, you know what? I don't know anything. I don't. All I know is Christ in me. All I know is God's grace in me. And I ask for more of it. Because you know what? Without his grace, I'm lost. That's what he's talking about, bringing the sinner back, is he's bringing you back to his grace and his mercy and his love. It's not bringing you back from all your muck and mire of what you thought was sin, because that sin is done away with. All we do is we fall short of glory. We're falling short of being transformed on a daily basis because of pride, because we didn't humble ourselves on a daily basis and say, okay, God, what do we do today? How simple is that? How simple is it just to say, hey, God, what do I need to do today? Where are you directing my footsteps with? And then sit there and meditate and just listen to see where his voice inside of you is leading you, where he's pulling you to go. Now, our flesh doesn't want to go in that direction. I'll be the first one to say that. My flesh is saying, screw it, I'm going over here. I'm going to do this today. And God's leading me to do something else. How many times for myself is there somebody that comes into my life and they might need a word, and I'm sitting there thinking of something totally different, of doing something for myself, and I miss giving them a word to bless them. I need to humble myself. I need to lay my life down on a daily basis. I need to die to self. Like Sam was saying earlier, it's all about dying to self. It's about dying to our will. That's how we're being transformed in glory. That's the start of glory. Is dying to self. That's why Jesus was said that he's the king of all glory, because he died to his will. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Sam brought it up earlier, he was sweating blood. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to die for the sins of the world. He was like, God, look, take this cup from me so I can live. I can go do something else here. That looks like a tormentful pain that I have to go through. But he said, nonetheless, not my will, God, your will be done. Because he also knew the relationship he had with the Father, and that pull was pulling his heart to do that will was too strong to say no. That's why he denied his will. And that's why we need to deny our will on a daily basis. Because you know what? If I'm not obedient to the conviction or the pulling of God, I feel dirty. I'm like, oh man, you know what? I know I got to go in this direction. I don't feel like it, but if it won't leave me though, it won't leave until I'm obedient to it. And that's why I believe God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, we've been also on speaking about all those people that are doing things out of religion and out of ordinances and obligations. And they're saying, oh, well, I got to be like Jesus. So I'm going to go out there and feed the poor, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to lay hands on this guy, and I'm going to lay it all aside. You know why? Because when God says, you said, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I did them in Jesus' name. You know, it's like the truth. I did it in Jesus' name. I went around and did this and did that. Be gone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a scary thing. And I believe that the reason why he says it is because we never received grace. We didn't receive the Christ, the divine nature that lives inside of each and everyone and never resurrected. That seed of Christ needs to resurrect. And I believe those people that went around doing those things in his name, they were doing it in their flesh. They were doing it out of a head knowledge because that's what they were told to do and that's what they were taught. But they didn't have a relationship on a daily basis with the Father. They didn't really know what the Father was doing because the Father was doing a new thing and maybe steering them in a different direction, and they didn't follow it. That's why he said, "Be gone, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." And that's where we have to get away from. And it's simply this. Receive the grace today. We're under grace. Grace saves you. That's the only thing that saves. God says, "I save you by my grace through faith." Receive this message. Receive our messages that we're speaking in here. Look, we're not trying to perpetrate the gospel. We're not trying to create a new gospel. This gospel's here. It's been this way for centuries. The problem is religion, man, reasoning, everything's distorted the truth. And God's saying, "No, I'm bringing it back." And you know what? We're going to get away from the little foundations. You know, Jesus is a foundation. He's a cornerstone of our faith. But we need to build upon it, precept upon precept upon precept. It's through grace. It's through that revelation knowledge we're building precept upon precept. You know, it's not through head knowledge. I haven't gone to a Bible school and learned any of this stuff. Look, I'm an unlearned man, just like those apostles. I don't sit here and claim to be a BA degree or master's degree. I don't have a master's degree. But what I do have is I have grace because I had to humble myself and say, you know what? I don't have it. But you know who has it? God in me. God gave it to me. You know, and he's still teaching me because I still fall short of his glory. I still fall short. But I don't beat myself up over it because we all fall short. But God, that's where God's mercy comes in and says, okay, you fell short today. Now it's time to keep moving forward. Don't blame yourself. I'm still teaching you. You know, they said that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. That was on a daily basis because you know what? We're learning obedience to learning what God's voice is saying inside of us. And we suffer sometimes when we follow our mind and we follow our reasoning and we follow those ordinances and things that we grew up learning all the time rather than following the living word of God within us. And that's where we're falling short. But God's saying, you know what? My love covers it. You know, love and righteousness is his divine nature that lives within you. God chose each and every one of us. Everybody that's out in the web, everybody that's in the world has been chosen by God to have a relationship with him. We're here as a ministry just to get the word out to say, hey, God lives and dwells within you and he loves you so much that he gave you his son, Christ, a living seed within you. Just acknowledge it, receive it. And with that, you're going to have a daily relationship with God where you can hear his voice and hear his word. He says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep. Not as goats, not people that are in reasoning hear his voice. Because look, there's many voices. There's many voices up here that I hear. But there's only one that's here. And who are we going to choose this day? Are we going to choose our voices in our head? Or are we going to choose the voice that's here? This is the truth. This is the only truth that matters right here. You know, we all have Christ. But you know what? Everybody's unique. Everybody's unique individual. We all have Christ, but their Christ is different. Your path is different than my path. Your relationship with God is different than my relationship with God. You know? But that's why he says, no division among you. That's where the church has fallen short too, is they're judging everybody for what their relationship with God, because they're putting a form of God or religion on that person to have a relationship with God, saying, you must act a certain way. You must be a certain way. You must do this to be closer to God. No, it doesn't work that way. It's the individual relationship inside your heart where you're hearing God's word within you and living on a daily basis with him. Everybody has a habitat with God. Amen? Amen. So we're gonna end it on this. I think I'm going to bring up Pastor Kurt again. He's going to do some closing for us.
Amen. And the red light has been on. Have a great week. One little thing. The divine nature is a gift from God in every one of us. Christ is what? An anointing. We all have a different anointing. That's why he's saying work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Christ is an anointing that God gave every different person. So what's in Sarah, what's in Abba, what's in Madeline, Jake, Elizabeth, are all different. But that's where that relationship with God brings that out. Divine nature. It's a gift from, divine means a gift from God. Nature is, where am I at here? Wrong. Anyway. Nature is the character, is a character, is your character. Divine nature is a gift of God, and he's given you a character, and we have to find that character, amen? The scripture verse today was, behold, with unveiled face, be transparent with who you are. Don't try to hide and be somebody else. That's where a veil is, too. You have to take it to a different level and a simple level. It says, beholding as in a mirror. Always look within you as you're holding up a mirror. Look within you. Don't point the finger at anybody else. Look within you. For the glory of the Lord, being transformed. When we look within us, we're being transformed. We're looking within us, not within others. From glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Transformed. That's where I find it's interesting. We're being transformed. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, it changes. The revelational knowledge is being given out. This message that's being spoken has been spoken in here for 15 to 20 years. The revelation's hitting us. And it's given for you. Don't think that you're here just not understanding anything. I remember back in the very beginning of the ministry, we used to sit here, I swear, on Sundays. You think this is long? Oh. From 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? Am I right? With the blue chairs. These are like comfy couches. I'm telling you, my bony butt hurt. But he used to tell me, and it was so true. Everybody learns differently, and God will teach you. The Spirit is the teacher, right? Jim just used to tell me, Kurt, don't worry about it. If you get it, you get it. God will teach you. Half that stuff used to go, but I mean, I'd be thinking of football games half the time or work or something like that. So don't think that you're any different. It's okay. Just try to get in here and be transformed. If it's a Sunday, if it's a Wednesday. But what Sam's saying, find that secret place. Mine's in the morning, in the shower, my drive to work on the speed line. My relationship with God's different than yours. Just because we were just pulled out of the world, plucked out, and put in here to lay down for 4 hours because we were rock solid heads. That's the way I look at it. That's what our call was. Yeah. He's got to deal with everybody. But as it goes on in this message and it was spoken, you're going to have it a lot easier than we did. So don't put yourself down thinking you have to do this, that, and the other thing. Just be grateful and thankful for where you are. And give that effort to change. Look in the mirror. Don't point at others. Really, that's the beginning of it. I really do believe that. And just pray out and cry out. He loves a broken and contrite heart. Amen. So have a great week. And if you can come out on Wednesdays, if not, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.